Good morning, City Church. My name is Liza, and I am in the youth, and I work in childcare sometimes. And I'll be reading 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so you will not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus has died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the word of the Lord, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who are already as fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Rather, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Liza. Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Good. You guys are a little sleepy. I get it. It's Memorial Day weekend. Let's wake up a little bit. Hey, I want to say personally just thank you. If you weren't here last Sunday, Pastor Matt announced that my family and I are taking a sabbatical this summer. If this is your first time here this morning, you'll be like, I don't even know what that is. I don't even know who you are. My name's Jim, one of the pastors here, and I've been serving City Church for over 15 years. Matt and I started City Church together, moved to Tulsa in 2009, but we are so looking forward to just being together as a family this summer. Here's what I'm gonna ask of you is just one simple thing is this, as you think about us, as you pray for us this summer, that this, it would be this, that we would receive whatever it is that God wants to do uniquely in our hearts and our minds for me, my wife, my three boys. And I just wanna say thank you for loving us so well. We're so grateful to serve this body and you. And so thank you for that gift and that honor that we get to go do that this summer and just enjoy one another and rest. So thank you for that. This morning, we are continuing our series through the book of 1 Thessalonians. But one of the things that as I look at humans over the course of history is this, is we have this fascination with the future. We want to know the future. We want to know what's going to happen to us. It's the same in the book of Thessalonica or Thessalonians, the Thessalonica people. But they wanted to know the future. In fact, we think that often that we're pretty intellectual, we're pretty smart. You know, there's things like horoscopes. You may think like, do people actually still buy those? They do. Because I've been in the grocery store and the gas stations and I watch people in front of me like buy those and I'm like, people actually still buy those? They do, you know? Some of you may have bought those. Yeah, you're like looking around like, eh, that's me. That's fine. There's stock speculators, all right? We desperately want to know like what our growth is going to be for our future income and all that. Now we have a thing called cryptocurrency. There's the farmer's almanac. We desperately want to know the weather, especially like now. Like we've had so much bad weather lately, but it's like we want to know and predict the weather before it's come. That way we just know what's going to happen. We desperately want to know what the future holds, and we take great pride in that. But when it comes to knowing the future and about it, all of us have to plead this. We have to claim ignorance. We just simply don't know, right? We just don't know what the future is going to hold. But here's the reality of this. If we desire to know anything about the future, we need help in order to know what the future is going to be. Amen? But the Bible paints a very clear and vivid picture about the future, and I'm so thankful for that this morning. What is God's ultimate plan for human history? The Thessalonica church was, man, they wanted to know what the future held. In fact, there was some confusion around that. And so Paul writes this letter to encourage them, and they were a little bit confused of their friends and their loved ones had passed away and they were buried there in the ground. And so they're like, are these people actually going to get to be with the Lord forever? And so Paul writes this letter to remind them that they're not missing out on anything, that they're not going to suffer any defeat or experience no loss, that yes, they are going to get to be with the Lord forever. In fact, there was a letter that was being circulated during that time that was supposedly from Paul that Christ had already come back and that these people had missed it. And so you can imagine the confusion that was happening in this young church during that day. But Paul teaches the church these two things that I think are really key for us to remember. The first one is this. It's really important for us to look back and remember what God has done in and through our lives. Amen? Two people agree with that. It's cool. We'll get there. All right, we'll keep going. The second thing is this, is that we need to look forward to the future hope of what God is going to do in and through our lives. Amen? Amen. There we go. Now we're on it. Let's go. But this needs to be our focus, is we need to look back and remember what Jesus has done in and through our lives. That's what I tell people that I get to sit down with and mentor and disciple this. It's really important that you write down the things that God has done uniquely in your life. Why? Because we simply forget. And the further that we get away from that event, the less that we think about it. That's true. That's just how we're wired as humans. Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. It says this. Let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you will stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you that was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. I remember in my early 20s, I was pursuing other things outside of the things of the kingdom of God and of Jesus. I was going through this time of just kind of searching and wondering what was next and wasn't really pursuing the things of God and was kind of living a lot for myself during that time. And my parents had asked me to come into town because I was living in another city that was just a few minutes away, about a half hour away, and that I would go to church with them on a Sunday night. And you guys remember Sunday night church? Yeah, four of you. Yeah. So we used to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Back then, I felt like we went to church every night of the week. Are you with me, Craig? You've been there. But it was a Sunday night church, and there was this guy by the name of Roosevelt Hunter that was speaking that night. And so I was like, all right, I'll go just to kind of like appease my parents and honor them. But really the whole time, all I was thinking about was getting out of there to go hang out with my friends. Like I wasn't really interested in what was happening in the church service that day or the worship or really any of that. But Roosevelt began to speak and he said these words at some point during his message. I don't even know what he spoke about. It's kind of like how you guys remember our messages that we speak up here. Have no idea what Pastor Matt spoke about last week. And you don't know what I spoke about the last time I spoke either. It's all right, it's humbling, that's cool. But he said this. He said, there's a young man here tonight whom God is going to change your life forever. And I wasn't looking at him. I wasn't really paying attention, but all of a sudden I looked up and something engaged inside of me, and Roosevelt was looking at me, and I was looking at him, and I knew, uh-oh, tonight's the night. Like, this is, like, my life is going to change. And so I came down to the front. We had altars in the church back then, and I knelt at one of those altars, and I began to pray and seek the Lord, and it set me on this course that I'm still on today, and I'm so grateful for that. But here's the reality of this. The further that I get away from that moment, the less that I think about it. And the same true for you. The further you get away from the significant moments that God did something amazing in your life, the less that you think about it. That's why it's so important for us to write these things down. And Paul encouraged the church to look back, to remember what God has done. But he also encouraged them to look ahead. Let's look at 1 Peter this morning. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad that there is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is by being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Peter gives us some incredible things to be hopeful for, to look forward to. Let's look at those this morning. The first one is this, is you've been born again. I'm so grateful for that. Amen? You guys got to do better than that. You've been born again. You get to live with a great expectation. You have a priceless inheritance because of what God has done uniquely for you. There's wonderful joy ahead in our lives. No matter what trial you're going through right now, there is wonderful joy ahead. And here's the beautiful thing about trials, is the trials that you're facing are going to show the world and the people around you that your faith is actually genuine, that it's real, that it's not phony and fake. He says this, strong faith through many trials will bring much praise, glory, and honor on the day Jesus is revealed to the whole world. I'm so thankful for that. Paul tells us at the end of that passage that Liza read this morning that our charge is to encourage each other in these things. We need to do that more and more. How do we encourage each other? God's protection is over your life through your faith. That's how we encourage one another. Hey, let me tell you, brother. Let me tell you, sister. God's protection is over your life no matter what you're going through right now. Why? Because of your faith. Nobody's saying amen. Come on now. Yeah. Come on, church. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching. Get up here. God himself will come down from heaven. That is good news. That's something to encourage one another in. Your trials here on earth are going to bring the world much praise and glory and honor on the day that he returns. And here's the best part of all of this. You will be with the Lord forever. Come on, somebody. You will be with the Lord forever. I love what John 14 says. It says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be also where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Our task is this, that you and I continually live as resurrection people. That is our hope, that we live as resurrection people, that people in our lives know that we are resurrection people, that we're just passing through. This world isn't our home. Jesus says this, I am the resurrection and the life. And his goal is this, is to untangle your past, and he wants to grab your future hopes and bring them into the present reality. Why? Because Jesus is saying, I am the solution to your problem. I am the solution. The ploy of the enemy is this, is to take the gladness out of your life that is only found in Jesus. The enemy wants to remove that. He doesn't even want you to think about that. That there's no gladness, there's no joy. He wants you to get caught up in the moment of what's happening in the world. But the reality is this, is our future hope is in him. We get to spend forever with King Jesus. This is what we should be encouraging one another in. Say, it's hard right now, but this isn't forever. This is just a moment in the history of our lives. You see, the reality is this, is we live in a world that's trying to remove any tension, any pain, any difficulty, any friction. We crave the easy way, don't we? We crave what's fast. We crave what's comfortable. But the reality is, that's not the way of the kingdom of God. But the reality is this, is the Spirit of God is living and active in each and every one of you. And the more that we pursue him, the more that we're molded and shaped into the image of God. I just made up a new word, shaped. It's not always easy to obey Jesus. But it's always about you and I being shaped into the fullness of God. Amen? The cynicism of our day, the news, the world will teach you and I to not get your hopes up because it's bad out there. It's really bad out there. You should be discouraged this morning. No, we have a hope in King Jesus of eternal life. The reality is we get to live with a deep reservoir of hope. I want to be deeply rooted in that hope. 1 Peter tells us that this world is not our home, that we're aliens, we're foreigners, we're just passing through. See, if you've ever had the privilege of traveling, you know that when you lay down in that hotel bed or that Airbnb or that Vrbo or wherever it is, you know, like, this is not my bed. I'm a little bit older now. Like, I like my bed. I have a really nice bed at home. And it's like everywhere that I sleep outside of my bed, I'm just like thinking about how much I would rather be home. No matter how beautiful the place is that I'm in the world, I'm like, I would rather be at home in my bed because it's really nice and I miss it. But you know, that's not your bed. You know, when you step into that shower, it's not your shower. Ladies, when you step into that kitchen, you know, like, this is not my pantry. Where's that? Where's the spice that I need and the sauce that I need to make this meal for my family? It's not there. You're not at home. I love what 1 Peter tells us this. He says, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Catch this morning. The promise of the Bible is this. We get Jesus, and he will be more than enough no matter what you're going through. Church, we get Jesus, and he's more than enough. No matter what you're going through, what difficulty you're going to suffer, the Bible is a gritty book. It's a difficult book to take in at times. It's not some children's book. We're foreigners, we're aliens, we're exiles, we're odd, and we're strange, and people are gonna look at us and wonder, I don't know why you're doing that. We're different from the rest of the world. We're set apart, and you know what? That's perfectly okay. Nobody's amen into that, I get it. You see, some of you are enduring incredible, difficult trials right now, and here's the reality of what suffering can do. Suffering can absolutely crush us. It can turn our hearts to resentment and bitterness, or it can take the role of sanctifying us, of refining us to look more and more like Jesus. Amen. See, suffering refines us by burning away all false hope in our lives. Things that we don't even realize that we're doing, things that we put in our life that are not going to last, they're going to rust and decay, things that we aren't even fully aware of that we've added into our lives that we put our hope in outside of Jesus, how far that we've drifted. But suffering gives us this. It gives us an opportunity to grow. It gives us an opportunity to heal and be redeemed back to Jesus. Suffering re-centers us and reminds us that this world is not our home. The more we make this world our home, the more that we rob ourselves of the hope that Christ Jesus has already brought us. The more that we make this world our home, the more that we rob ourselves of the hope that Christ Jesus has brought us. You see, life's hardships absolutely deepen our faith. And they make it more genuine that we don't give in to bitterness and resentment. There's so many things that you're not going to understand in this life. The first year of City Church was incredible, but it was also incredibly difficult. As I personally went through a divorce, which is incredibly messy as a pastor starting up a church, all I saw was the lost. All I saw was how broken I was, and I couldn't see past that moment. There wasn't any hope. There wasn't any future. I felt completely abandoned by God, just like many of you have. And I said this, God, I've served you faithfully for all these years, and now this? Yeah, I said that just like you do. But all these years later, I find it to be one of the most beautiful times in my life. Why? Because Christ met all of my cynicism that I gave and dished out at that time with his wonderful, abundant grace. Over and over and over again, he met me. I'm so thankful for that. You see, I knew his presence in that moment through that brokenness in ways that I'd never experienced before. And I know this sounds absurd and crazy, but there's sometimes I crave that I want to go back. Why? Because there was a desperation in me to pursue him like I'd never known. You want to know what my biggest takeaway was during that time? Is I actually believe this stuff now. I believe that it's true. I believe that it's real. Why? Because I was deeply broken. But I still ask, why me? God, why not that guy? I know him. He's a complete dirtbag. It's okay. You've thought that. You felt that. I was like, why couldn't that be him? And God's like, no, I wanted to do something in you that you can't see right now. I want to deepen your faith in ways that you're yet to know. You see, I learned that my faith was genuine by the testing and the trial. I learned that God was actually good. I learned that God was actually kind. And I learned that God is actually compassionate and gracious to me every day of my life. You see, all the pain, all that suffering, all that loss, it burned away every ounce of pride and selfishness that I had in my life. And it recentered my life on what matters most. See, all the things that we place our hope in outside of the things of God are completely exposed when we go through suffering. All of them are completely exposed. This morning, I want to ask you this question because I know there's several of you in the room this morning that you're saying to yourself, I honestly don't know how I'm gonna make it. I don't know if I can take another step forward. Life is so difficult right now and hard. And here's what I want you to do. I just want you to look at me and like give me a nod this morning. Like that's you. Yeah. Several of you. But the reality is this. When Jesus looks at you and he watches over your life, he wants you to know this morning, you can do this. You can do it. As hard as you think that it is, as difficult as the brokenness is right now, you can do it. He's not abandoned you. He sees you and he knows you. I love the Psalms. Such a great reminder. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd and you have all that you need." God has given you everything that you need right now. Even though you may be walking through the darkest valley, your rod and your staff, they protect me. They protect and watch over me. And here's the beauty of this that he closes us out with is I will get to live in the house of the Lord forever. That is our hope, church. How many of you, by a show of hands, would say, I've been there before? I've been through those moments in life where it's like, I just didn't know if I was gonna make it. Yeah, come on. That's most of us in the room. I've experienced such brokenness that I didn't know that I could take a step further. This morning, I just want to pause for a moment and pray for you that are in that posture right now. You're saying, I'm barely hanging on. I don't know if I can make it. Here's what I want you to do is just right where you sit. I want you just to put your hands in a posture of receiving right where you are, but as I pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Jesus, I ask you to flood these people with your light and your hope and your love in this moment. God, that you would fill them full of your Holy Spirit. God, that you would remind them of your goodness and your grace. And God, that you would bring hope, God, to the deepest part of their souls right now. God, we love you and we honor you. God, give these people hope right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. I think it's really important that we remind ourselves as we look back and even the Beatitudes. What's the first Beatitude say? It says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We got to remind ourselves of that. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God's not impressed with a, I got this. I got this. You know what God's impressed with? I have no idea how I'm going to get through this. God's impressed with our weakness when we come to him and say, I desperately need your help. I don't know if I can take another step. I need you. I'm stuck. I'm desperate. I'm broken. I need your help right now. I'm frustrated. The reality is this, is all of us are going to face death and brokenness and trials over and over and over again in our life. And here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna walk through uncertainty once again. You're gonna question once again, why am I going through this? Why has this happened to me? You're gonna be confused once again, and your faith is going to be shaken. I remember our first worship directors at City Church. They got married and they had a baby. It's back in 2015. And they named that, there was a beautiful baby boy named Oliver. But Oliver was born with incredible medical issues. So on a ventilator the moment he was born. And we prayed and we fasted and we agreed together as a church as we prayed for baby Oliver to live. But here's the reality, baby Oliver didn't live. He lived a few weeks. In fact, he was born before Father's Day and died on the other side of Father's Day. How difficult is that? This was their first child. There's so many, I don't have answers for that. I don't think anybody does. And we sit with that and we're like, God, where are you in this? And God says, you can't see what I want to show you yet in the midst of that. We can't see it in the midst of our brokenness. But God is always redeeming the brokenness in our lives and restoring us and doing more beyond anything that we could ever dream or ask or imagine. The reality is this, is most of us in the room, we get addicted to bad news. Have you realized that? Like everybody loves watching a good train wreck. It's like, oh, I want to rewind that and watch that again. That was really good. I was just like that. I mean, several years ago, I craved the news. I loved the news so much so I had 12 like apps on my phone, like news from all over the world, because like I had to know what was going on. But God began to show me, it's like that anxiety you're feeling, that pressure you're feeling is because of all the bad news that you're taking in and reading continually. And so he's like, you need to do something about that. And so one day I was like, you know what? I think I'm gonna let this go. And so I got out my phone and I pushed the button and everything began to shake on the phone. You know what I'm talking about? Like right before you get rid of your favorite app and I'm shaking. Like I'm like, what in the world's getting ready to happen? And that little negative minus sign is there that's red with the white line. And I'm like wanting to hit it, but I don't want to. And I end up hitting like, I delete every one of those and the app's gone. I had this group, you know, of news on my phone. And all of a sudden I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening in the world anymore. And that even created a little bit of anxiety for a while. But you know what's happened is I don't even think about that anymore. I don't even think about the news. Actually, I roll with this, and you may think this is absurd. That's fine with me. We're people that, we're kind of like this people that are like, hey, have you heard? You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like if you got something to share, you're going to tell the people closest. You'd be like, hey, have you heard about? I live with that now. And so it's like, I know nothing about what's going on in the world. Truly don't, because I don't look at it. It's all bad. It's burning down. But people will come to me and be like, have you heard? And be like, no, I haven't, but thank you for that. I'm going to look it up. I'm interested in that. And that's just my posture now. And it's beautiful. And I'm free from that. I'm so grateful for that. But here's the pivot. that you and I must continually lean into and live this out. Philippians 4, let's look at this together. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I want to fuel my mind with what is good and right and beautiful and holy and beautiful every day. Why? Because every week the world is going to give you something to be angry about. They're going to give you something to be frustrated with. And some way that you're losing and that you're absolutely crazy because of your faith that you've put in this guy named Jesus. I want to be an expert in calling out the strengths of others. I want to encourage them in their faith. I want to be an expert in that. I want to be an expert in going through the things and showing them that, like, going through trials and showing the world that my faith is actually genuine by how I handle those trials. I got one final encouragement for you this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Here's the deal. What you do for the kingdom matters. What you do for work matters. It's making a difference. You may loathe it right now. It may feel completely boring and mundane, but it matters. And there's a reason that you're there, to be hope, to be the encourager, to bring the light, to share the good news. This is Paul's charge to us, to encourage one another. To encourage one another. Here's a great summer study for you. There's over 70 one another's in the Bible. Go look them up. Study them. Let them get inside of you and change your life and the way that you live. We've got to encourage one another that we get to be with Jesus forever. Encourage one another. We get to share his good news. This isn't just my job and Matt's job and our staff. It's all of our jobs to go and share the good news with people in our lives. We get to live with great expectation, knowing that God is protecting us through his power. Why? Because of our faith. The trials that we're going to face, that you're going to face, show the world that your faith is actually genuine. Let's not forget to look back and remember what God has done, but also to look forward of the hope that we have in King Jesus. Amen? Come on, church. There's a story of a shop owner in a small village in Argentina. And one day there was a visitor in town and he was just blown away by the beauty of the small village. As he began to look around, and I mean, they're just majestic mountains all the way around this tiny village. And he saw a shop owner opening up a store, and he goes to him, he says, man, he goes, how wonderful it is to live here in this little village, surrounded by these majestic mountains and this incredible view. And the shop owner's response was actually quite shocking. As he looked at the visitor to his town and he said these words, I hardly even notice it anymore. I hardly even notice it anymore. Let's not forget what Jesus has done for you and I. Let's live with that anticipation and that hope of the future, that we get to live with him forever. Amen, church? City Church, let's live as resurrection people. Will you make that commitment with me this morning? Let's live as resurrection people. Let's not grow tired in that. Let's not get so discouraged by our trials that we think, man, my life is over. No, it's not. God is deepening something in you that you're yet to see right now, even though it's incredibly painful and difficult. There's hope on the other side of that. I want to pray for you this morning, and then we're going to come to the table to remember and just reflect on what Jesus has done for you and I. Father, we thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for your truth. God, that we get to stand on, the hope that you've given us, this future hope to look forward to, that one day you are coming for us. God, we're so grateful for that, and we get to live with you forever. This morning, if we're here and we're going through difficulty, God, that we would have a glimpse of hope. God, I pray for peace just to engulf every life that's in this room or listening to this message right now. God, that your peace would just settle on their life. God, no matter what type of suffering they're going through, God, that they would rest in you to know that you are good and that they're going to make it. They're gonna get through it. God, let us continually encourage one another of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of the promises that you've given us through your scripture and your word. God, we love you this morning. And we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to continue just to sit in this space as we prepare our hearts to come to the table this morning.